We did have a good time. The Lord was with us, as He is now. We got to see a nice little choir from, I don't know what church it was. We didn't really ask, but some group sent a young people's choir over. They were good. To sing in their plaza in the town, handed out Bibles, handed out a book that it was in Spanish, but I believe it said, "For the Love of God." I believe that's what it was. There was ministry going on. Got to visit with the our dive master. Never got better service in our life. But got to visit with him towards the end for, I don't know, everybody else was in bed. I think it was around midnight. Got to minister to him. Open his eyes a little bit. You know, when you're on an island, a small island, and you're raised totally in the Catholic Church, totally, you don't just tell people all of your life you've been wrong. That's not your job anyway. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. So what you do is you minister as the opportunity is given and by the way you're led. And I believe we made some good inroads with him. I know we have in the time past. You know, to me, we need to give God praise more often. We're afraid to give God praise because sometimes we think we're bragging on ourselves. Do you ever think about that? We're very cautious about how we praise God because we're afraid we'll be praising ourselves. I think that's a foolish stand, and we need to grow out of it. This gentleman left his home and left his family, and over a period of time, and by the leading of God, he's back home with his family. He loves his kids. What better thing can happen? How many times does something like that have to happen in our lives before we realize God is using us? See, I'm not here to impress you. I don't care. I'm more decisions all the time. But I'm not here to impress anybody. I don't care if you like me or dislike me. All I want to see is some change in lives. That's what Jesus came. That's what Jesus was all about. He didn't come here. There's nobody in this place that has a calling equal to Jesus Christ. And not one time did he ever do anything in his dress or his demeanor to impress anybody. Not one time. Not to show off. You know what he was there for? For the people. Whatever it took from him to help the people, that's what Jesus was about. Amen? We got some growing to do. Hallelujah. Jesus' whole life was for others. For others. And we dare to say we're Christ-like. Let's get better. Let's get more mature. Amen? I'm going to review real quick what we've covered before we actually take the sacrament. Our basis has been on true communion. Our platform has been that revelation comes through communion. My scripture references to you were Luke 24, 30 and 31. If you've missed them, write them down because I'm going to travel fast. Luke 24, 30 and 31, 30 and 35, those three verses. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. Verse 35, and they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. The scripture does not say that Jesus broke himself and gave it to them. The presence of the Savior with the communion or the fellowship of the individuals gave revelation of the Savior. Right? Okay. Again, in Luke 24, 41, but while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." Verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. We want our understanding opened. It's got to be in fellowship with Jesus, in fellowship with each other. There's no other way. If I could proclaim something to the entire world, your major revelations are not going to come from your alone time with God. Now, please don't hear me wrong. Your alone time with God is going to bring forth revelation, but when it's going to really be revealed is in fellowship with others. Because revelation just to you helps no one but you, and God's not in the business of you. God never gives revelation to you or I in any way, shape, form, or fashion just for you or I. Jesus was not resurrected from the grave. He was, but it wasn't enough. He wanted others to know. And so He sat down with them and broke bread with them so they'd understand. In other words, Jesus' reward was not being raised from the dead. Your reward is not being raised from the dead in salvation or ignorance. In other words, I didn't know that, now I have revelation, is not your reward. Your reward is sharing it with someone else. Changing lives. Amen? Please understand that. That's what this is about. That's what this communion is about. Jesus laid out the formula for growth, stability, and revelation. My question to you, since we've been studying this, are you practicing this revelation? Are your eating habits changing? Is your conversation changing during eating habits, during fellowship time? Or is it still about you, what you want? Your revelation crammed on somebody else. Is Jesus the head and the center of all of our fellowship? Or would He have a hard time getting the word in edgewise? More review. Who is the body? Who is the body and what are we to consume? I'm going to get something off my chest here just for a second. And this is giving praise to God, what I spoke to about a while ago. I am called to reveal this to you today. I'm called to reveal this to you in the past two times we've done this. That is my calling. I am called to teach and impress you with something that you haven't thought of before. I'm doing that in praise to God, in obedience to God. Does that make sense to you? I'm not going to be ashamed that I'm called to do this. And I'm not going to take credit for doing it. I tend to get my rewards from the rewarder in whatever way He wants. It's time for me to begin to give praise to God in my calling and not being timid or ashamed about that. And we'll just let God go from there. Who is the body? What are we to consume? Listen carefully. Christ, the Anointed. I didn't say Jesus, the Anointed. I said Christ, the Anointed. The Anointed means Christ. Christ means the Anointed. Don't presume to call yourself or someone else anointed and not say that that word means Christ, the body. Jesus calls Himself the head. He calls us the body. Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't need any anointing. He is anointed, the anointing. He is the head of all anointing. But He wasn't the head. He didn't desire to be a head without a body. Our job is not to make a little bread statue of Jesus Christ and tear Him apart this morning. Not to take the juice and pour it all over the bread. Y'all agree with that? We have an understanding that you and I, those of you that believe that you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and anointed by God, you become Christ the Anointed on this earth. The body, the Anointed. We understand that. I'm not trying to make you all the Messiah. I'm not trying to make you the head. I'm trying to make you what you really are. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ. You are the body of the Anointed." And members individually. I find it interesting that he didn't say, you're anointed individually. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that I don't think there's true anointing until there's the rest of the body in place. What is an anointing good for if it's not for the body? Oh, so that I can float and shine. Well, do it somewhere else. You make me sick, Jesus says. If you're not doing it for the body as I did it, do it somewhere else. 1 Corinthians 10:17, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. For we all partake of that one bread. He didn't say him, did he? No. He said you, me, we're the one body and we all partake of that body. Jesus being the head of that body. What is the body? It's Christ the anointed. Anybody in here anointed? Maybe I can get you to raise your hand then. Make it a little bit better testimony. Anybody in here anointed? There you go. Give God praise. That's the way you do it. That was His idea, by the way, not ours. Correct? So let's enjoy it. Ephesians 1:22 says this, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. What is the body? It's also the church. It's not one lone ranger out there. Because that is a member individually, not even suggested to be anointed. Now there's something that'll cause some pause. He's the head over all things to the church, which is His body. The church is His body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. What's the fullness of Him? The church, the body. Who's in charge? Huh? Jesus the head. Those of you that understand what the Scripture, or I've heard the Scripture that says that a woman, her whole desire is for husband, understands because of this Scripture. It's not just for the female gender to desire a husband. It's for the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Their entire desire is headship. Yeah, I know, but I still mean it. You can imagine how I would say it if I wasn't in this right here. Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. Now, can I tell you something, that Jesus will never have preeminence without His body? That's what this says. I think you'd love the churches to go around saying Jesus is Lord of all, but it's not the truth. It's not the truth. One day, that will be true when His bride finally gets smart enough to say it out loud and mean it. Be the body of Christ carrying the head. You know what happens in churches and in relationships if somebody starts trying to be the head? There's conflict. Why? Because everybody wants to be the head. When Jesus, the head, died for the body and requires us to do the same in return. The way He may have the preeminence is when He is the head of the body, the church. What saddens me the most is I know good and well that in most of the churches that you know about, Jesus is no more the head than the commode's the head. They'd rather sit on Him and use Him than be used. Jesus, come on over here and sit right over here. Make me shine. Look at my robes. Listen to how good I can speak. Aren't you proud of me, Jesus? Don't say anything except yes. Our only goal is the head, but we cannot please Him without the church or the body. Let me say it another way. You and I will never please the head alone. We'll never do it alone. And this is from the biggest loner you've ever met. What is the true bread that Jesus teaches? Acts 3:6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." The true bread is the head with the body together, and I give that. That's the true bread. What's the true bread to you? What you take and what you give. The hard part, guys, listen to me. It's real easy to give. You understand that? It's easy to give. It's hard to take. Communion is give and take. Right? Man, I'll tell you, all of us are equipped with ratchet jaws. Just given the slightest inclination and we can spew for 2 hours. But just try to get us to shut up long enough to receive and see what happens. This man that was sitting there was using his mouth to ask for. But then he used his heart and his ears to receive. E. It is not about self, but all about the needs of the body. And it is for the head. It's not about my call. When we talk about our call, it should only be in the context of praising God. If it doesn't bring glory to God, it's out of order. We should be quiet. Man, I don't care if I'm the Pope's Pope. I need to be quiet about it until it brings glory to God. Come on. Y'all are way too serious. You're not responding. It is not about my call. It's not about my goals. It's not about my family. And it's not at all about my needs. I guarantee you, every one of us, there comes times in our lives when we have a greater need than the person that's showing a need. The more mature person keeps it to themselves and brings glory to God. The less mature whines, complains, limps, falls down, plays dead, and doesn't care anything about the body of Christ. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ. We're one body in the anointing and individually members of one another. Now that's the strongest word in there. And individually members of one another. When that thing crops up in me and in you that says, "I have no need of you," you better call it a liar. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of one bread. That one bread. It is not talking about Jesus. It's talking about His body. By the way, the preface of this is Paul was saying, let me teach you exactly what Jesus taught me. If what we say, how we act, my call, does it really affect others? Does it really make a difference? See, this is what it's all about. We can talk about the body all we want to, but what we really want to know is, does my life really make a difference? Now come on, isn't that what we really want to know? Is all this effort of me trying to live correctly? Is it affecting anything but heaven? Am I able to help anybody else with what I do? And even more importantly, what I don't do. Any idiot can do. They're doo-dooing all over everywhere. It takes a man and a woman of God to not do. Anybody can flow with a stream. It takes somebody to stand against the current. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You see, this is not even the important part. The important part is that you will bring death. That's the important part. If you live according to the flesh, you will bring death into the body. Because let me tell you something, you can't die as part of the body and not bring death into the body. It's not possible. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live and give life. Now, I saw something here. You guys want a little more pressure? I'm here with the pressure today. I'll read it to you again. If by the Spirit you put death the deeds of the body. Did you catch it? See, that requires you putting some deeds to death of yourself. But it also requires you to put some deeds to death in the body. Something that in the last couple of generations, and even the existing one especially, we don't want to talk about. And that's a man standing up for right or wrong and speaking. Saying, that will not happen here. We'll not put up with that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, and these are making sons of God. Hey, it doesn't say maybe. It says if you are, it is. It doesn't make any difference if you see it or not. 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Now listen carefully, in case you're a little too big for your britches. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Can I give you the promise here? The promise is if you're working both sides of the fence, you're going to make Jesus hot and you're going to get in trouble. It is inevitable. It is sure. It is real. And sometimes it is super technical. I hate to tell you that. But as time goes on in your life, it goes from big things to little things. From big voices to little voices. It's training. It's maturity. Are we stronger than Him? You know the answer. Why is the church, the body, communion so important? I've got two things for you here to answer your question. Why is this so important? According to Ephesians, according to half the Bible, there are two answers. One, protection. Everybody wants protection. And there's only one way you're going to get it. And I want you to listen to me carefully. There's only one way you're going to walk in protection. And you're going to listen. 1 Corinthians 11:29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Please, the hardest thing I have to do this morning is to pull you out of the old way of listening to this scripture and putting you back into the new way, the real way, the way Jesus taught it. When you operate in an illegal manner in the body, you're bringing judgment to yourself. What does it mean, guys? What does it mean when you bring judgment to yourself? I don't mean to be rude, but here's one right here. I'll point it out. This is judgment to yourself. This right here. You know how he got that? Doing something he knew not to do. If he tells me he was hearing God that moment, I'm going to call him a liar because there's the proof. Ask him if you want the full story. There's other people in here hurting right now because they did not rightly discern the body. This accident happened the night before you and I talked. And I said, don't rent the car. Turn the keys in. Don't use the car. I don't care who says it. I don't care if Karen says it. I don't care who says it. Don't use the car. The next morning, Bob gets up and he knows. He's already told me this. He knows in his heart there's a little voice saying, don't do this. Don't do this. And other voices prevailed. And instead of a nice, normal time, the wrong voice costs. It's a little voice. It's a little thing. It's God's way of chastising. Why? To keep you from doing worse things later on. He still enjoyed Cozumel. He still did. Everybody that was involved still did. We'd have just enjoyed it a little more if we'd have rightly discerned the body. Can I tell you the biggest discernment in the body of Christ is what you and I call common sense or horse sense. The world doesn't have it, in case you don't know. They don't have that. Only the body of Christ has common sense. What's common sense? Well, if I do this, I'm going to be hurt. Don't do it. Common sense. If I buy this, I'm going to run out of money before this day. Don't do it. It's a tough one, isn't it? Don't do it. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. The correct interpretation is many die prematurely. They're in the grave prematurely. For we, if we would judge ourselves, how many of us really spend a moment to stop and judge ourselves? What do I know to be a fact here? What do I know to be right? Well, the closest one to me, the one I care about the most, the one that has the most influence, is influencing me. Tell them to be quiet. Here's what I know. This is what I'm going to do. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. This is so simple. This is so simple. But when we are judged, see, there's a good ending to what I'm telling you. When we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. Not by somebody else looking on. Doesn't make any difference about anybody else's opinion. But we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. So why do certain things happen to us? Sometimes, most of the time, to keep us from being condemned with the world. No condemnation in any of this. Information, correct?
Right.
Number two. Number one is protection. Number two is power and growth, which is better for the head. Do you think the head wants a strong body or a weak, broken up body?
Strong.
Pretty simple, isn't it? Ephesians 4, and I'm not going to read you all of this. There's about 15 verses there. But I'm going to tell you what it says. Body ministry, communion, leadership, headship, tailship, whatever you want to call it. This is what it's about. Equipping. What's communion for? Why did Jesus sit down and break bread with those guys? Why does He sit down and break bread with us? Why do you and I sit down together, even in this arena? Why do we do that? Equipping of the saints, Ephesians said. The work of the ministry, Ephesians says. Edifying of the body, Ephesians says. I learned something from Patrick. I learned something from Bob and from Karen and from Barry and Bobby Joe. I want to say Barry, Joe, and Bobby every time. I learned something. You may not call it, but I've been edified by this experience. You may not like that, but it's still the truth. I have learned something. The body ministry that was going on that day and the day before was, he's not supposed to take the car. He's not supposed to do it. And he did it, and people paid. Clear enough? Are you not familiar with the accident? He rented a car. And six people got in a three-person vehicle or four-person. And all the flags were up. All the warnings were up, even from the day before. They did it anyway. Was it a major thing? No, it's not major. Thank God it's not major. It would have been major for me because my daughter was invited to go with my granddaughter in there. Then it would have been major. Understand what I'm saying? Then it would have been major. Because he left a good example. He flew out of the car 20 feet, hit the ground praising God. My granddaughter wouldn't have done that. She doesn't know to do that. Protection. Oh, yeah. That's Mom. Oh, yeah. The day before. Yes. Actually, we'd already rented the car. I told him to turn it in, don't use it anymore. I just felt something in here should have been, there was a flag up. There really was. There was flags up. And he knew that. He confessed that to me later, that even the next morning there were flags up in his spirit. Now, here, we're not doing this to anybody. I want you to understand we're not doing this to anybody. Edifying the body is taking experiences, even if they're negative, and turning them to the positive. Amen. That's all edifying the body is about. You can't always, you as a parent, most of you have been a parent, you as a parent know that you can't always edify with chocolate candy. Sometimes you have to edify from the other end. But it's all edification, and it's for their good. It really is. The hardest thing in the world is for me to take Mackenzie and whack her buns and say, but you know what? You have to look past the whack, and you have to say, she's going to learn. She's going to be edified from this. And so it's required of me. And I'm sorry, I should have explained it. I thought by now everybody in the world had heard, but that's not... That's my fault. I should have explained it better. For edifying the body. There's one other thing. There's not one other thing. There's several other things that are mentioned in Ephesians 4. Body ministry, communion, is for unity. When you and I talk about the body having one head, then the first thing we have to understand is that you and I are going to have to agree on some things if there's a head here. Early on in the statements of faith, one of the first things I taught you that you must find somebody that you can agree with or you cannot walk with them. And the first person you better find to agree with is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then the Bible says, I am determined not to know to anything in you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now we are in agreement. Let's go from there. So unity. One head, one goal. Another thing Ephesians 4 says is knowledge, wisdom, understanding, revelation, and discernment comes from communion, from sharing. It also says maturity, or stop acting like children, tossed to and fro. I watched a movie last night called A Beautiful Mind. Anybody seen that? That man was nearly destroyed by listening to wrong voices. Now, truthfully, he was so egotistical, he just about killed himself. He didn't think it was necessary to listen to anybody about anything because he was so brilliant. Y'all did see that, didn't you? And when you get that way, then there's very little body ministry and you're headed down the wrong road. You're going to get murdered. Now, what the man learned to do, mostly out of fear because they were going to shock treatment him forever if he didn't learn, was to stop listening to wrong voices and listen to me. His only survival was to listen to the one that loved him and the ones that cared for him. It was one scene in there that was really great. He was a professor. He was teaching by this time, and he walked out. And he was talking to one of his students. And there was a guy come from the blind side over here and said, "Professor, whatever your name is." And the guy didn't even look at this voice. He looked at the student that he was talking to, and he said, "Can you see him? Do you see this guy? I've learned not to listen to voices unless other people can see." Testing the spirits. He's been confused. He learned to test. He wouldn't even trust any voice unless there was some kind of confirmation that it was real. Otherwise, or even the last of the movie, they say, "Do you still hear those voices?" "Oh yeah, I still..." He looked over there and he saw the three people that had tried to drag him down the tubes. And he said, "Oh yeah, they're still there, but I've just learned to totally ignore them." That's the baggage that we all carry. Our past doesn't dictate the future. Never has, never will. Truth. Out of Ephesians 4, body ministry brings truth. By the way, in case you don't understand, that is the goal and the foundation of all life, is truth. It's not impressionism. It's not looking at the stars and seeing funny things. It's not being able to look at a blank canvas and see a painted tree. There's no truth in that. Truth is truth. It's what's real. It's what changes you and I. That's what we seek in the body of Christ. When I come to the body of Christ, when I come to church, I don't intend to see arts. I don't want to see somebody in a little tutu going like this, because there's no truth in that. There's no reality in that. How do I know that? I've been at your house. I've been at your house. I've been at my house. I've never seen this. It's not real. Sorry. It's not real. It never changed one thing in my life. If you can push truth in me through that, I'll receive it. But what you're using is not truth. If it works, let's do it. But if it doesn't work, let's be like that professor and say, "Can you see that guy? Is he real?" And if the response is yes, then you can turn and talk to them. Love. The hardest thing in the world that truth has to deal with is love. Because love generally flies in the face of truth. The church has not learned and it has not taught that truth and love are the same word. They're never different. If you pick up your little granddaughter and you say no, and you give her a whack, that's truth and that's love. If you tell her 1, 2, 3, that's a lie, because the world's not going to treat them that way, and neither is Jesus and neither is the devil. It's not truth. It's not love. And by the way, if it's not truth, it's lie, not love. They may start with the same letter, but they don't end the same. One ends in hell. In Ephesians 4, it says body ministry is for growth. It's for growth. One of the things that I've learned, and I am hard-headed, it takes me a while, but I've learned that I can look at a situation and I can grow. Whether I like the situation or I don't like the situation, I can still grow. I don't have to fall back. Listen to me. When something bad happens, I don't have to retreat and shrink. I can still use it as a platform for growth, as a vitamin for growth. That's what the communion and body ministry is about. Fellowship. All right. True communion. My exhortation to you today, two things. Number one, never forget to give praise and honor to the one who was first broken and first died for the body. I don't care what communion we're talking about, whether it's the sacrament or whether it's fellowship, breaking bread together, eating each other, feeding on each other. Never forget to give praise and honor to the one who was first broken and first died for the body. Number two, never forget to be broken and die daily for the body, the church. That's the total teaching in a nutshell of the communion. Those two things right there. Y'all got it? Or do we need to spend three more Sundays? Hey, it's worth it. I promise you, if we got to spend six more Sundays, it's worth it. I would just like for everybody to understand whether they have it or not. I'd like to know. All right. Another quick review before we step into it. Number one, communion is not the sacraments. Please, this is not communion. It said, when you do this, remember. There's nothing life-changing about this juice and this bread unless you remember. It's like I've talked about the tithe. There's absolutely nothing life-changing in the tithe unless you tie it to the Word. It is giving to each other what we have through fellowship and through the church. I will remind you again, this has already been broken, but I'm going to show you something. See this one piece of bread right here? How many of you could get your mouth around that? Let's see if I want to insult anybody today. No. You can't do it. So it requires some more brokenness. This is the revelation that God gave me. I will share with you. That bread is a seed. God only makes seed. The seed is worthless, the Scripture says, unless it what? This is the revelation that God gave me. That seed, you are the seed. It must be crushed. All the life must come out of you. You have to be ground up till you're nothing but a powder, which is where this started. Add a little water. Add a little oil. Add a little heat. And a miracle happens. Something ordained by God. I do believe that God made that process, showed us in the making of bread so that you and I would understand the body of Christ. Not the other way around. A little water, a little oil, and a little heat, and you get a loaf. But the Bible says that's not enough, because then that loaf has to be broken. Jesus sat down and say, let's break bread together. The juice. Why was it necessary for Jesus to lead the example in shedding blood? Why was it necessary? You'd have thought the sacrifices would show us that. Why was it necessary for Jesus to shed His blood? Because it was the final one. It did not change. It ended. The actual use of blood for salvation or forgiveness of sins. So, if we fill this with blood and you drink it, it will accomplish no more than if you never drank it at all. Right? So no longer is blood having anything to do with anything, because that ended it. It was enough, more than enough. It completed the process. So when we take this thing that looks like blood sometimes, bring to our remembrance what Jesus did. That's number one. Number two. How many of you have applied that sacrifice, that blood of Jesus to your lives? Here's the reality of the blood of Jesus. The total danger in our communion is that you might give me something I don't want. Isn't that the total danger in fellowship? You're going to come up with a thought process, a statement, a foolish statement, a smart statement, something that messes up my life, turns my apple cart upside down, and I don't want that. The fear, right? But I thought the blood of Jesus took care of that. Nothing is going to swim the blood of Jesus and make it to you as a danger. Nothing. Not lineage, not heritage, not somebody else's word, not somebody else's curse, not even yours. is going to swim the blood of Jesus and make it as a destructive force to you. That's a promise of God. So when we take the sacrament as the blood, it is to remember that we are covered, filled, protected. Therefore, I don't have to worry about the sins of the past. I don't have to worry about your sins. I don't have to worry about mine. They are taken care of. The bread is to remind us of each other and the fellowship. The blood is to remind us that we don't have any danger in the fellowship. Does that mean we can't be hurt? I didn't say that. Patrick, did that hurt? It has. There's a little pain involved, right? Is there one chance that it could ever separate you from the love of God?
No. In fact, I take it as a positive because it actually corrects my steps on what I treat like.
Are you hearing me? Not one danger of losing your salvation because there was a little pain. Right? Then why would we worry about that in the body? I should never worry about the salvation, my salvation. It is sealed by what Jesus did. But here's the thing. My blood is not going to do you any good, but my body will. My blood is not going to do any good, but this juice is going to remind you of the one final act of Jesus' blood. Now, we can go to a lot of the theology. We can talk about our blood being changed by the blood of Jesus. You can do that all you want to. But the sacrament is to remind us that that final act is the final act. And I don't have to worry about fellowshipping. The Holy Spirit will tell me when to and when not to. Amen? All right. The blood kills contamination, fights diseases. Do I carry the blood of Jesus? Do you carry the blood of Jesus? So whether, let's just say both you and I, we got some kind of disease. We got some kind of perverted theology. And so I just splatter you with it and you splatter me with mine. Let's remember that I'm protected. You remember, and I'll remember, that in the long and the short of it, we are protected. Relax. Rest in Jesus. Amen? All right. The third point, judging ourselves, gives discernment of friend and foe. It causes positive work from communion or fellowship or breaking of bread. How many of you are expecting something to happen by your presence in the presence of another today? Yeah. See, what if we just start learning that when we fellowship together, no matter what time, whether it's vacation, church, or even in a good knockdown dragout, there's going to be a positive result from it, not by our plan, but by the plan of God, and we agree with that. Amen. Number four, the only way to go the right direction is to go the way of the head. Right. It's very painful when your body tries to go a different direction than your head. Okay? It affects both sides. So what we need to do is go in the direction that the head is going. That way we'll start out right and we'll end up right. He was known to them in the breaking of bread. Are y'all ready? Okay, I'm going to read you. I've got to. This is tradition. We have to read the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. Our first example here is that right in the middle of the betrayal, He was still in communion. Stayed at the table. Verse 24, and when He had given thanks, even in the midst of betrayal, He gave thanks and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood." This cup is the new covenant. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." If the true body of Christ is one, if the head dies, what does the body do? So we're talking about us dying with Christ Jesus so that the body of Christ may live. Right? All right. This do in remembrance of that thing. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are wicked, sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But if we were judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned by the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, maybe the Lord knew that most of the time when we got together, we'd end up eating. Think He knew that? Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Another version, wait on one another. Really, this is not complicated. Very simple procedure in here. Now, I'm not interested if there's sin in your life. If there's sin in your life, you shouldn't even touch. You should have taken care of that before you ever got here. But here's what we all have in our lives. We have not practiced the righteous discernment of the body. Sorry, forgive me. But the righteous discernment of the body, Bob, and I didn't think about that at that time. God spoke to me about that this morning. What is when I spoke to you about that concern that I had, you discerned that it was the voice of God, not my voice. That would have been the righteous discernment of the body. Or an action. If there's an action, if I would have grabbed the keys out of your hand and said, you will not go. Maybe that's what I should have done. I don't know. We'll find out as time goes on. But you rightly discerned that it was an act of love, not defiance. If we rightly discern the body, we'll be protected. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things that are said to me and that I say that people perceive wrong and I perceive as wrong. We need to get mature enough to back up and say, what was the motive of the heart? This is my body. Surely my body is not against me. Now I need to search for the motive of the heart. And God, if their motive is wrong, if it's against you, you take care of it. Can we pass out the... How do I want to do this? Let's do the bread first. Since that's scriptural, we do want to do scriptural, right? I'd like to take the time to do this correctly. Y'all can just picture it and we won't have to spend the time doing it. If every one of us had a piece of bread, the correct procedure was that I take from yours, you take from mine. And we could do that over and over to each other, and then it would be true communion. Not being afraid of what you could give me because we have the blood. Right? There's a real good evidence right now that there's nothing pure in food. We've got people getting sick when every safety procedure was taken. You know why people got sick from that meat? There wasn't enough fire applied. If there had been enough fire applied, they wouldn't have gotten sick from the meat. The eating is the enjoyment. The fire has never been the enjoyment. Y'all getting what I'm trying to say? I would like to tell the body of Christ that once you're saved, there'll never be fire. But that would be a lie. You'll always just rub against each other like two pieces of frosting. You can just lick on each other and you'll all taste good. But see, it don't work that way. I wish it did, and one day it will. I got a feeling in heaven it'll be that way. But we're not there yet, so let's deal with where we are. Just, is there only, just, let's Let's do it symbolically. Just let people pull a piece off. This is the breaking of the body in the church. I guess I should have. I think symbolically I got a big piece of crust. Praise the Lord. You know what? I give Him thanks. I give Him thanks for the communion that I always understood as a young person. And then I give Him more thanks for the revelation in a further time when it reaches a whole lot further than just a symbolic thing. And it's taken me... Do you understand that sometimes revelation don't always make it go real easy? It doesn't change things totally. I learned this a number of years ago, and it's becoming more and more real to me every day. I told you, or I'll give you a primary example of that dive master that left his wife. Do we need to be so religious we say, I'll have nothing to do with you? Or do we need to still stay at the table and stay in communion? Maybe he doesn't have anything that I want for the moment. Maybe I'm the only one that can be pulled from. But is that okay? Maybe later he'll have something that I need and I can totally pull from him. We may not like either time, but it's profitable for the body. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank You. Jesus, we thank You. Holy Spirit, we thank You. We give thanks this morning for what You did, Jesus, on the cross, how it changed us, how it changed us into a total new creature. And we do remember this today. And then I thank You for the revelation that there's more. There's a continuation of this sacrifice as we break each other, as we partake of each other. We give You thanks. The Scripture says, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Can we go ahead and pass out the cups, please? If we can think about this, picture this, please, the Last Supper. Jesus sitting with these 12 guys. This is pre-death of Christ, correct? And the revelation of the body of Christ in communion was already being manifested by Jesus. Sitting there with people like us, a bunch of goofs, not knowing one moment for the next where we're going to deny Christ or fight for Him. Knowing. What if we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that in every 12 people, one of them was going to betray? Would we continue to stay at the table? Would we trust in the Word, in the law of God so much that the communion that I'm sharing with the other 11 will protect the other 11 and myself? Not to worry about the one that's a betrayer. I don't have to crucify them. I don't have to slaughter them. I can trust God in the communion. Y'all got that picture? I can get one. Too busy talking. Let's do that. Let's do that as we remember Jesus at that Last Supper table. Not only remember Him there, but remember in His death. That was a final seal to prove that as we fellowship, as we commune, there's no worry. That I have something to give, you have something to give, and the body of Christ and the head will be profited. This is all about Him, right? In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Lord, let it also proclaim our death, our burial, and our resurrection. You are our head. You are the one we love. You are the one that we live for. Our desire is for You and Your will. God, use every experience in our life to build and to edify and to mature. Not just so that we can be that mighty, mighty mature person, but so that we can have something to offer to that one that is in need at the moment. God, teach us as a body that our goal is to have something to offer that's not tainted with our opinions and our will and our goofy theology, but it is pure Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. As we have taken this communion, as we continue to commune on a moment-by-moment basis, keep our minds fixed upon You. That the goal of every heartbeat that we have is to further the kingdom of God. To be a part of the body that provides to every other part the life that's needed. And to receive that life impartation back into ourselves with no fear. You are King. You are Lord. You are my Savior. You're my head. You're my healer. I'll look for no other but God. Jesus, I'm in search of You in the rest of this body right now. I'm in search of You through conversation and through fellowship. Make Yourself be heard. Make Yourself show Yourself strong. And then use us as the revelation of You and Your body comes forth. Use us to propagate, to bring forth more sons for You, to bring forth life instead of death. That is the prayer of our hearts today. We give You praise, Jesus. We give You praise. We trust You. Everybody that agrees with this prayer says amen. Hallelujah. One other thing, I ask you Wednesday night, I think, to pray about the other church building. You need to continue in that. The door's wide open on both of them, and I mean that literally. It's wider open on the one on Jewel than it is here. But that's not the sign. I'm asking you, is this real? Is this voice real? Because I don't want to go over there because it looks like a good deal. I want to do that. So you need to praise. You need to pray. You need to tell me what God's putting on your heart. We're not going to put it up for a vote. Not going to happen. God's not asking for our vote. So I'm not asking for yours. I'm asking you to pray and see what God tells you. And then please tell me. It looks like a good opportunity. I do not want to answer. Amen? Because this is about the body of Christ. I do not want to step on another part of the body to make ours look better. I still say that the supreme desire of my heart is for that church and this church to be unified, be one. And some of their religion broke, some of our education continued, and property becomes part of what God wants. But you pray. Do it quickly. I don't want to hear from you a month from now. But the church has been offered. It's been offered for purchase. I would like some peace about it myself. I have been cantankerous with them. And not because I want to be mean, because I set down some rules. They weren't temporary. We've got a place. We don't need... If you think about something confusing, we looked up, just as something strange, we looked up and our 5-year lease here was over June the 30th. As we began to look at one place, this is over the 30th. Well, that's a voice. No. I'm asking you, is he real? So I call and I say, what about this? They said, oh, we didn't even know it was up. Never mind. We'll send you a letter saying you can stay there as long as you want. That's what I said. Both doors are wide open. We need an answer from God. That's all I'm saying. Your flesh wants to do, if a guitar is stolen or you walk in and the air conditioner's not working, your flesh wants to hop up and crow real loud. We got every reason in the world to gripe here. But that's still not enough reason. We need to know what God wants. Amen? All right. Father, use the word, use the time for your profit. For that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be dismissed. Please, if God speaks to you, call me up and tell me. I want to hear.